The Shilling Show will be back with David Morata right after this.
Pennies for candy all week. Her brother Frank would spend all 5 pennies for candy on the very first day, gorge himself out. And then at the end of the week, my grandmother Florence would be buying candy, and brother Frank would have run out of money. And her mother would say, "That's not fair, Florence. You need to give him some of your candy." So when she would buy a penny of candy the last day, she'd have to share it with her brother Frank. And this gets to the topic today, and that is, what kind of equality should we seek in society? Clearly, they both had 5 pennies at the beginning of the week, so there was an equality of process. There was an equality of opportunity. But by the end of the week, there was not an equality of result. Brother Frank had run out. He'd gorged himself the first day and then didn't have any money for candy the last day. And her mother thought that wasn't fair, and my grandmother Florence would always end by telling the story to say, "I didn't think it was fair. I had to share my pennies, my candy at the end of the week." And that really gets at the two conflicts that we have today in politics, and that is an equality of process and an equality of result. And conservatives, and especially fiscal conservatives, believe that what's important is the equality of process. And that what you need to do is you need to have the order and incentives and modes of interaction that are fair, but you're never going to get an equality of result. Whereas liberals today, or big government, think that what you need is plan, design, goals, intentions, and that what you need to do is to somehow engineer an equality of result. And if you haven't engineered an equality of result, it's not fair. And that's really at the heart of all of the arguments about taxes on the rich, and about a welfare state, and about increasing entitlements, and about increasing Medicare and Social Security. It's should we have an equality? What does equality mean? What does it mean to be just? What does it mean to be fair?
This is such a great illustration, the one with your grandmother and her brother, in helping us to bring this down to a very accessible level, David Morata. And I'm thinking that, you know, what if I was a kid and that was happening, I would probably be very inclined to just consume everything at the outset instead of saving it so that nobody else would pilfer it and take it. And that's really the wrong lesson.
And my grandmother would say that. She'd say, "I felt like I needed to spend all of my money the first day, or I wouldn't get to enjoy it. But I didn't want to eat 5 pennies worth of candy the first day." Pennies worth of candy back then actually bought something, and so she would save some, and then she'd be punished for it, and she never thought that was fair.
It's not fair, and I think this is something that people need to consider when looking at national policy, this extrapolation of a very, very simple and straightforward example, because with just larger numbers, the same thing is playing out today.
Yeah, a couple of thought questions I think help sort of bring the debate down. And that is, if you have $50,000 and there's someone in town, or $50,000 a year, and there's someone in town who's making only $25,000 a year, are you willing to give them $12,000 to make things more equal? And people who are making $50,000 a year don't feel like that's the right thing to do. But that's the same thing no matter where you scale it, and they feel like it's fair for people who are richer than them to give to people who are poorer than them. They just want to be the mean in the middle.
And it's interesting that people oftentimes don't see the hand that's taking from their own back pocket, and if they did, they might slap it. David Morata is our guest. He's online at moratonmoney.com, and we're continuing with this conversation, what equality should we seek in society, and particularly economic equality. We'll take your calls when The Shilling Show returns. It's 977-1070. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, challenges, all welcome here on this program. Stay with us. Much more to come. When I could make a wish, I think I 977-1070, that's the phone number here on The Shilling Show. Bruce will take your calls throughout the course of the program today at 977-1070. We are talking with David Morata, the president of Morata Wealth Management, and about what equality should we seek in society, and with a specific emphasis on economic equality. I'd like to step back a little bit. We talked about the two views of equality, equality of process or results. And I'd like to look back at what our founders thought about equality. I mean, of course, we know the phrase, all men are created equal. But which one did they favor, process or results? Do we know?
Most of the founding fathers favored an equality of process. They thought that what we needed to have was freedom, and that you really take away a lot of freedoms when you try to engineer an equality of result. The best example of equality of result is slavery, where I give you food to eat every day. And if I want to give you a penny's worth of candy every day, I give you a penny's worth of candy, and I don't give you the choice as to whether you can have your 5 pennies today or not. And that's the way a lot of liberals respond to my story about my grandmother and her brother Frank, is they say, well, that was the mom's fault. The mom should just give them a penny every day, and then they can each have a penny's worth of candy.
But then they never grow up.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it's not, it's, you know, if you want adult people with freedom making their own decisions, then you need to have an equality of process, not an equality of result. To get at it the same way, I talked about if you make $50,000, are you willing to give $12,000 to someone who makes half of what you make to make things fair? What if we both make $50,000, but I've spent my $50,000 now that it's June, and I don't have anything for the rest of the year? Are you willing to give me $12,000 because I spent all my money and in order to make the second half of the year fair? It's another example because what it takes, the difference between owning a cell phone and not owning a cell phone throughout your working career is $1 million in your retirement.
Wow.
So the question is, if someone foregoes having a cell phone for their entire working career and has an extra $1 million because they saved and invested in their retirement, is that fair? And the question is, well, fair to who? They didn't have a cell phone. They deferred consuming it. And the definition of capital is deferred consumption, which gets at this whole idea of capitalism. If you believe in capitalism, you believe that people should be able to defer consuming it and still have control of it. Whereas liberals today, they look at rich people and they say, oh, the rich people, they make all of their money through, it's all lazy money. It's just invested. And they sit back on their lawn chair and the money comes rolling in. Well, yes, it's lazy money because they didn't invest it, but it's lazy money because they didn't consume it.
Mm.
And if you think about it, you think, well, how did my grandmother get her penny on the last day of the week? It's because she didn't consume it. Well, there's nothing she did. It wasn't fair. She wasn't working that last day for it, but because she didn't consume it, she had it. So because you have this, if you don't want everyone consuming everything as quickly as they can, you want an equality of process, not an equality of result. Unfortunately, our brains are half-wired for an equality of result because our brains are living mostly in the moment and not for future planning. And when you're in the moment, all you care about are things fair immediately at this moment and how much can I consume right now. And we have to get back that as a people in our brains. It's a fault of our brains that we think of equality of result as equality or fair. It's actually a fault of being too much in the moment and not enough forward thinking and long term planning.
Yeah, I think we could call it, as we do popularly, instant gratification as opposed to delayed gratification. And I'm thinking of the story as you were talking about the ant and the grasshopper. And it's the same sort of thing, you know, and at the very end, the grasshopper is very upset because he spent the whole time playing. And Mr. Ant, will you please help me? But, you know, my great fear in looking at all of this is that, you know, the more that we do this, I mean, you talk about the cell phone. Gosh, you just get a free cell phone from the government now. I'm not sure if you'd heard of that program, but there actually is a free cell phone program. So people would not be motivated to even worry about that.
It's true. Yeah, what I find fascinating is the studies that they do about what people are willing to do. So they asked, these are all studies where they asked financial questions, so they're financial psychology. And they asked people, what would you rather have? Would you rather have everyone gets $500? This had to do with college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather everyone get $500, or would you rather get $1,000 if some people got $3,000? And because students are young and naive, I think overwhelmingly they said, no, I'll take the 500, and everyone has to be fair. Even though they could have had twice the dollar amount if they were willing to have inequalities of result, they could have had twice as much.
You know, it's funny that you put that in financial terms, but let's put it into human terms. You know, would you be willing to have your mother live to 50 years old, or would you be willing to have her live to 75 years old if everybody else's mom, some other people, got to live to 100? I mean, if we shift it, I mean, what do you think the results would be different?
That's a great question, and I hope some psychologist out there is thinking about trying to determine this. But it's amazing. Over half of the people think that an equality of result is more important than being richer. Now that splits our brains right down the middle on this issue, and that's part of the problem. And I would say that even though there is a split in our brains, all of the social science data goes toward seeking an equality of process makes everyone richer.
Mm.
And what I think is interesting is, well, you know, how do you claim that, and how do you look at the sociological? Well, just in economics, I know we can look, because this experiment has been run thousands of times in history. We took the Korean Peninsula and we split it between North Korea and South Korea, and we ran an experiment on both halves, and the democracy in South Korea did better than the communism in North Korea. We split the United States and the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union went bankrupt, and the only reason it was still functioning, the only reason they still had a functioning economy was because they had a black market, and the black market served to take some of the release. Even if you look at Rajiv Gandhi, India's prime minister, who put the market reforms in place, that's another social experiment. India was burdened under its own red tape and socialism, and then it became a huge economy. And even if you ask the question, well, how did China pull itself up to now begin rivaling the United States in terms of its economy? And those were the Chinese reforms under Deng Xiaoping. And his quotes are wonderful. I mean, here is a communist leader who believes strongly in socialism. And when he put his reforms in place, he put them in with a few slogans, which are now famously quoted. One was, let some people get rich fast. And then he was challenged on his move away from socialism. And he said, it doesn't matter if a cat is black or white so long as it catches mice. and then he just had to put it all out. He said, to get rich is glorious. In other words, whatever works, and it turns out this socialism stuff isn't working, we need to at least try market reforms. Now, China is not the freest country in the world, but for the ruling class, they have a free market economy.
And that should tell us something.
And the ruling class having a free market economy means that there are more capitalists competing in China than there are the United States. Because they have so many people and their ruling class is so huge, it creates an economy all by itself.
David Morata is our guest. He's online at moradaonmoney.com. We're talking today about equality and what equality we should seek in society. We'd love to hear from you. 977-1070 is the phone number. And so when we get back, I want to start out by talking about living with inequity. We talked about the human mind and how we consider these things, and also about affirmative action and making up for past wrongs, as has been used to justify this equality of outcome or result in the past. That's coming up when The Shilling Show returns with David Morata. It's The Shilling Show at 977-1070, News Radio 1070, WINA. Coming up in hour number two, Michael Patrick Leahy, a Breitbart News contributor, on an investigation regarding Teresa Sullivan and her resignation. Also, Dr. Mzudi Jasser on his book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam. Bruce, we got incoming. You can pick that up for us, please. We're continuing this conversation with David Morata, the president of Morata Wealth Management, online at moradaonmoney.com. And the topic is, what equality should we seek in society? This is a very important question, and I think it's one that is important for young people to consider as well, because, as we heard earlier, young people making a very, very bad choice sometimes when given these opportunities to do so. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Tim. Hey, Tim, welcome to The Shilling Show.
Hey, Rob. I just came in a couple minutes before your closing remarks, just before that last break, and I heard your guest's excellent description of the Chinese ruling class having an economy of their own. I'd like to hear any comments he has, if there's a model that he knows of, sort of like America, where the ruling class doesn't produce anything. They merely rule. Of course, what I'm talking about is the liberal Democrats, who are completely infused into the government and never go anywhere. That is, they're not removed with each administration. They remain, and they just continue doing what they always do. There's plenty of evidence for exactly what I said. And so my question is, you know, where is the model where the ruling class doesn't do anything but drain the society? I'll get off and listen if you have a response.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I would have to say that Greece is the example of the case where almost everyone is on the dole in one capacity or another. Southern Italy is very similar. I have relatives there, and all of the industry is in the north, and everyone seems to be working for the government in Italy as well, and that's why the European Union is struggling like it is. And what that means is that when everything flows through the government, then you can't vote austerity measures because everyone views it as their personal livelihood. And in Greece, they even have terms for how much you need to bribe for various kinds of permits. Mm. And I know in southern Italy, if you finish your house, the taxes are higher than if you are in the middle of building your house. And almost everyone of my family in southern Italy who has built a house has one room which is cinder block unfinished with no windows. And they add that cinder block room on specifically so that they can pay lower taxes because the house is unfinished. And I'm 50 years old and the house is still unfinished. And that's how they get around taxes. When you have so many people as part of the government, there is a fragility of freedom. And Milton Friedman put it at about 60%. When over 60% owe their livelihood to taxes in some way, you can't have any kind of a reduction in government, because you can't have any kind of austerity measures. And Greece is so far beyond that that they're so far beyond the 60% that it's clear why the austerity measures would be voted down. There isn't really a hope then at that point because there is no one who's willing to be working for government and yet voting for lower taxes. How many school teachers are willing to vote for lower taxes on the schools or lower spending on the school system? How many government workers are willing to vote for lower government spending? That's just a mistake. When I worked for public institutions, I would constantly vote for lower spending, knowing that the fragility of freedom is huge. And public servants needed to serve by voting lower taxes. And it's a very counterintuitive thing for a public servant to believe that. They think they have to vote with their team and they have that kind of a loyalty, but they don't and they shouldn't.
This is an all points shout out to Richard Lloyd, who sent me an email yesterday with a pretty astounding Ayn Rand quote. Richard, if you're listening right now, send it to me because I'd love to quote it on the air. I think it is relevant to the conversation. Send it to robs@wina.com. Final few minutes with David Murata. Let's go to the phones and say hello to John. Hi, John.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Mr. Murata. It's ironic that you should mention Ayn Rand because that's what I was calling in with is a Ayn Rand quote that you may not have heard of, but, It's about the pig and the acorn, the oak tree.
Tell us.
Did you hear about this?
No.
Well, in regards to delayed gratification, a pig, a particularly gusty pig, eats up all the acorns underneath an oak tree, and he starts nibbling on the bark. And a person comes up and says, well, do you realize that you're nibbling on, you're killing the tree that lays the acorns? And the pig just basically responds, it doesn't matter, I'm hungry. And that's the whole point is that, the radical left just keeps attacking capitalism, calling what we have capitalism when, in fact, it's not capitalism. What we have is sort of a gigantic crony capitalist system that's the embers of capitalism, but we've never had real capitalism. So they're blaming the failures of socialism on capitalism, and I'm sure Mr. Murata is far more knowledgeable than I am about this, so I'll leave it to him to comment on.
Yeah, John. Yeah, thank you for the call. Let's get David's response.
The term for crony capitalism is actually fascism. It's a hard word, and everyone thinks, oh, I'm calling people Nazis or something like that. But fascism is the melding of government and business together, so that government and business are in bed together, and it is. It's dangerous. You can't have the referees coming on the field of soccer to play. They can't score and they can't be playing. They need to be objective. And to be objective, there can't be 20 refs. There needs to be as few refs as possible on the field interrupting the game. And I always think that when the game of soccer is more fouls than it is playing, that the refs are probably doing something wrong. So as little reffing as possible to let the players play the game. But you're right. It's very difficult to for liberals especially, to think that the unlimited supply of money will just keep coming, when in fact, if most of the money is with the rich, then most of the money is being made at a marginal, most of the decisions about money are being made at a marginal tax rate of 50%. So when you tax the rich, you're putting the highest possible marginal tax rate on the greatest amount of money, and that's always a dangerous thing to do. You will always get less money. Because if you try to tax the middle class, they still need to work and eat. But if you try to tax the rich, they don't need the money. They can just stop working. And they can just say, you know what, it's just not worth investing and taking all that risk, starting up a new business and hiring people, if the payoff is going to be zero because everything's going to go to the government for taxes. Rich people are smarter than that, and they just won't do that. They'll go John Galt.
Yep. Atlas shrugged, indeed. All right, David Morata, we've said a lot in a short period of time today, but I hope people will think about this, the two views of equality, process versus result, and ultimately what is better for society. I think the answer is very clear. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. This was great.